and to train the flock of God and to minister God's truth so that we may all grow up into the fullness of the stature of whom we can be in Jesus Christ. I'm going to be talking today on the subject of faith. And I want to begin our teaching from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, which is affectionately known as God's Hall of Faith. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the first verse gives us a discussion of what faith is. And the very first verse tells us that faith is something. That faith is a substance. Faith is not some ethereal, wispy something that we cannot get a hold of. And while it is true that faith is not a material thing that we can touch with our physical sense of feeling, and that we cannot hear it with our ears or see it with our eyes or taste it or smell it, it is not a sensual thing. It is a substance. It is a real substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the substance of that which we are expecting. And it is the evidence of the things which we cannot see or experience in the realm of the natural senses. Now, as I was reading this week, I came upon the 11th verse of this passage. And this is so illuminating. And I think it will illuminate all of us today if God will give me the strength and give me the clarity of speech to bring forth this very simple but yet profound truth. And Father, that's what I'm asking you for today. Jeff, give me a little more volume on this lapel mic, please. Are you there? Jeffrey? Tell the sound man I want him to stay in the sound room, please. Do we have a sound man? We don't. Okay, someone's going to get him. Well, we'll pray and let's talk to the Lord about the message, shall we? Father, I'm asking you today that you will give me clarity of speech, that you will give me depth of understanding and the capacity to express what I'm seeing and what I'm understanding, so that when we're finished with the teaching this morning, that we will all have grown, that we will all have developed a deeper revelation of how faith really works, and how it is that we may gain and appropriate and receive and partake of the blessings that you so eagerly want us to have. Your word tells us over and over again that you're a wonderful giver. But sometimes we're not very good receivers. We know that there's no lack in you, that you are always ready. Your word says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation and all of its benefits. But sometimes now is not a reality for us. And we want to learn and know how to move into that present reality. And so please, Lord, please just show us through the example of these Old Testament saints and New Testament believers how it is that we might touch you and receive what you are so freely offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11 and verse 11, this understanding. Remember that, perhaps I better preface this for those that may not know the story. We know Sarah was the wife of Abraham. Sarah was 90 years old and barren. Abraham was 100 and childless. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that he, through Abraham, would bring forth a nation, multiple nations of people. That would begin, first of all, with one son. Abraham, at the time that his wife had ceased after the manner of women, Abraham had long since lost the capacity he felt to bring forth seed. God, at the what we would call the sunset of life, brings forth a miracle son. Now, how did that happen? How did that actually take place? Hebrews 11:11 tells us the contribution that Sarah made. Now watch this. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, in that verse is a key for many of you. In fact, I guess I would be more accurate in saying, in that verse is a key for all of us. Amen. What's the key? The key is that she received strength. Now, the word strength here, we don't catch this because the word strength is the same word, the same Greek word that is translated many other places in the New Testament, dunamis. What the apostle is saying here is that Sarah received power to conceive a baby. Now listen to this. Sarah had no power to conceive. Sarah did not have the ability to conceive a baby. She needed some power. She needed some ability. She needed something beyond herself. The scripture says she received that ability. God's got the power, God's got the ability, but we must receive it. Let me give you an example of what I believe the Spirit of the Lord would like to have us understand this morning. Do you have a set of car keys on you? Thank you. That's exactly what I want. All right, now, let's make an assumption here. And let's assume that these are the keys to a brand new red Mustang. And let's assume that I called Jeremy Hall out of the congregation this morning and asked Jeremy to come forward. And I said to Jeremy, Jeremy, these are the keys to a brand new red Mustang that I have purchased for you, and I have it parked in the parking lot. Now, the first thing that Jeremy did was he took the keys. Now, what do you suppose the next thing is he's going to do? What would you do next? No, I don't think you would. What would you do next?
I would say thank you.
You'd say thank you, wouldn't you? Yes. Now, have you seen the car yet?
No.
How do you know there's a car out there, and how do you know those keys will fit it?
Faith
in what?
Mm-hmm.
In what I told you.
Yeah.
And you'll thank me for the car, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, after he thanked me for the car, then what would he do? He'd probably go back over there and sit down before to the end of the service. Go ahead and do that. Okay? Now, what do you suppose he's going to do when he sits down? What do you suppose he's going to do? What do you suppose he's going to do? What would you do? Look at them. Look at them talking over there. Look at them. He'd tell somebody! He would tell somebody! He would say, you believe what just happened? Do you believe that he just gave me the keys to a brand new car? He'd tell Ashley. It'd be buzzing over. I could hardly preach for the buzz. Then he'd tell Jack. See? And if Aaron believed what I said, Aaron would lean up and touch him on the shoulder and say, "Congratulations, I'm so happy for you." And that whole corner would be a buzz over there, wouldn't it? Now, has he seen the car yet? He doesn't know if there's a car out there. I've given the car, but he has received it. How did he receive it? He thanked me for it. He began to tell others. In his spirit, he's receiving it, and he is expressing his faith. Now, the only thing he's got to base his faith upon is my word. And he said, it's based on me. Because he believes that when I say something, I'm faithful. He trusts my word. He believes that he who promised is faithful to deliver on the promise, and that he who promised does not lie. Now, on the strength of his believing that, faith rises up in him. He reaches out and he accepts the keys. He turns and thanks me for it. And he goes and tells everyone, "Hey, do you know I have a new car?" Now, what is the substance of the new car that he has right now? What is the substance of his car? Faith is the substance. He doesn't have the car. He doesn't have the substance of the car yet, does he? What does he have? He's got his faith. Faith is the substance of that which he is confidently expecting, praying aggressively. "Pastor, please finish up this message and pronounce the amen. I want to drive my new car." But until he gets there and sees the car and feels the car and smells the inside of this brand new red Mustang, what has he got? He's got his faith. He knows that when he walks into the parking lot, there's going to be a strange car out there. And when he puts the key in the door, it's going to open to him. The only thing he has, at this point, the only thing he has to base what he's believing is what I told him. Now, last Sunday morning, right here, we prayed for lots and lots of people. We laid our hands upon them, we anointed them with oil on the basis of somebody's word. Didn't we? He said, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. They will anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith over him, and the sick shall recover." Isn't that what it said? Now, what does that mean? It means that when the anointing oil is poured upon you, when hands are laid upon you, the power comes. The strength comes. The ability comes. It's ministered to you right then. It's not going to come tomorrow. It's not going to come next week. It's there right now. That's why God establishes that point of contact. The power is there. The strength is there. The ability is there. It comes from him. Are you understanding this? He grants the power at that moment. Some of you felt it right then, didn't you? Some of you actually experienced that power. You sensed something happening in your body. Others, you didn't feel anything. But that does not mean that the power wasn't ministered to you. The power is ministered at that moment. Some of you received the power, some of you did not. Pastor, then it's my fault? No, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, the scripture says. Do you understand? Did I step on your toes? I don't mean to step on your toes. I want you to understand how God works. There's no sense in me making you feel good and for you not to receive the blessings of God. I don't want anybody to go to hell feeling good. I don't want anybody to die of a so-called incurable disease and feel good. Sarah received strength through her faith. Now, the word received here is a very interesting word. It is the Greek word lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. It is not the same word as if we were to say the ground receives rain. In fact, in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, there are two Greek words used in the same verse. They're both translated received. One of them is talking about the earth receiving the seed when the seed is thrown upon it. The earth does nothing, does it? It's just kind of there. Now see, most Christians think that's the way the power of God comes. We're just kind of there. And go ahead, Lord, do me. I'm not going to participate in this. I'm open. You can do anything you want. But you're not going to receive anything from God that way. You're not going to get saved that way. See, think, what would you say to somebody if somebody said, well, I'm ready to be saved. Anytime he's ready to do it, I'm ready. What would you say? You'd laugh at them, wouldn't you? And you'd straighten them out because you know that's not right. You know that's not right. You know that the only reason people are not getting saved is not that the power of God is not available to be saved, but we're not receiving it. You've got to do something about it. You've got to be active. You've got to be a participant in it. You're not a piece of dumb dirt. You were a piece of dumb dirt. He did take a lump of mud and make something out of you, but then he did what? He breathed on you, and you became a living, eternal being. You're not a lump of clay. And so you don't act like it. All of God's benefits require your participation. So, the word lambano means to take hold of. In fact, it is used in the 5th chapter of Matthew when Jesus was talking on the Sermon on the Mount and he said, if any man will sue you at the law, let him take your coat also. The word take is the word lambano. There's action there. Acts 2 and 38. Peter said to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall lambano the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall reach out and take it. Now suppose Jeremy, standing here beside me, had said, I don't really think, that really sounds good, Pastor, but I don't really think you have a red Mustang out there for me, and I'm not going to take the keys. I'm not going to play a fool here. Or suppose he had taken the keys and he's all excited about it, but he walks out there and gets in his own car and goes home. And everybody's gone, and you know what's in the driveway? A red Mustang. Now, I'm telling you something. Last week, there was some healing left right here. Now, you didn't see it, but it was left right here. Because some of us didn't know how to receive it. We didn't know how to take hold of it. Here's a young man that came forward last week. He said, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I could have just received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That would have been the end of it, and Jim would have walked out of here. He had had nothing. But as with Jeremy, we gave him a little instruction. We said, well, here, you know, do this. This is how you receive it. And did you receive it? Yeah. So, see, he didn't leave his here. There was power ministered, there was ability ministered, there was strength ministered, and Jim grabbed it. He took it. He received it. Sarah had her ups and downs, just like you and I do. In fact, the year before Sarah had the baby, she's inside the tent flap laughing when God's standing on the outside talking to Abraham and telling him, next year about this time of the year, your wife is going to have a son. Sarah's behind the tent flap going, he, ain't never going to happen. She had her doubts. She had her times of unbelief. But apparently she moved past that because the Word says she received the strength. Let's take a natural example. Suppose she had said to her husband, Yeah, I believe God's going to give us a child, but we're not going to have marital relations. And she hadn't been willing to receive his seed. Would they have had a baby? They would not. And see, that's where we are. We have not received the power. We have not received the strength. We have not received the ability. It came, but we didn't receive it. John 1:12 says that Jesus, the epitome of power, came unto his own, and his own received him not. Last Sunday morning, right here, the power of God came, and some received it not. I don't want you to get condemned over that, and I don't want you to get under a pile of condemnation over that. I want you to see why it is that we don't receive. It's not that God's not doing His part. We're not doing ours. And most of the time, we're not doing it because we don't understand how.
That's right.
And that's what today's service is about. Let's begin to understand better how.
Amen.
Let's understand how. Now, remember what Jeremy did. Say, I don't want you to forget Jeremy. Jeremy, stand up, son. This is our example of receiving power from God, okay? Jeremy Hall is it. So if I say you need a Jeremy Hall, you know what I mean. Okay, you may sit down, Jeremy. Now, what did Jeremy do? First of all, he stretched out his hands and he took the keys. Then he turned to me and he said, thank you. Now, wouldn't it be appropriate after hands are laid upon, John, come up here and lay hands on me. No, come around. Yeah, you play me.
Oh.
You play me, I play you, okay? Yeah. I'll get down so you can see John. Okay. Now, what is happening now? Now, we're play acting, you understand? But what is happening here when we are doing this in faith according to the Word of God? What is occurring this very moment? The power and the ability and the strength of God is being ministered to my body. Why? Because Jesus said these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay their hands upon the sick and they will recover. Amen. John, are you a believer?
Yes, sir.
Are you laying your hand upon
sir.
A sick person?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The strength of God is flowing into my body. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I bless you and praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. I just got healed. God's
Amen.
Power just delivered to me. I just received my healing. Now, I may still feel sick. Do you say, well, Pastor, that'd be a lie? No, I just received my healing. I just receive it. Would Jeremy be lying if he leaned over and told Jack, I just received a red Mustang? Would he be lying? No, he wouldn't be lying, even though he hasn't seen it yet. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? God is speaking to us in language that a child could understand. We've got 3- and 4-year-old kids in here who understand this better than many of us do.
Amen.
Thank you, John. The things of God are not complicated. They are so simple, and we're too smart. Now, let me give you another very simple example. That's all I'm going to say about it today, because I think this is a subject that we could preach on, talk on, teach on for the rest of the week, the month, the year, the rest of my life. But I want to give you just this bite, just this nugget. How many of you have seen Jesus personally? Touched him with your hands? How many of you have seen heaven? You've smelled the beautiful flowers. You've looked at the golden streets. You've examined your mansion there. You've checked it out. You've seen it. You know that it's there. How many of you? Well, what are you doing here today? What are you doing here? Why are you here today? Why are millions of people around the world in buildings just like this, perhaps with some steeples on them, but why are people doing that very thing today? They haven't seen him either. They haven't seen heaven either. Why are they here? Why did you stand and sing? Why did you praise him today? What are you praising him for? You're not praising him for what you have seen. You're praising him for what you believe. And your faith is the substance of what you can't see. And your faith is the evidence of what you are expecting with a bold and confident expectancy. I got to tell you this. I know you well enough to know this about you. If God lied about heaven, if he lied about Jesus, and if there is no heaven and there is no salvation and there is no Jesus, you are going to be the most shocked people. Why aren't we that way on the subject of healing? Why aren't we shocked when our body doesn't respond to the power of God? That'll knock us out. The reason is we do not judge God faithful in this area. How did Sarah receive strength? She made a judgment. She established in her life a conviction. See, a conviction is something, it's very different from an opinion. Most of us have opinions on healing, but we do not have convictions. An opinion is something that you will change based on the pressure that's applied. A conviction is something you'll go to the mat for. You'll die for your convictions. Now, see, you would die for your convictions about heaven, about Jesus, about salvation, about the blood, and so on. You'd die for that, wouldn't you? But you wouldn't die for the testimony of the Word of God on healing. You say amen, or you can say, oh me. But I know us this well. You would not go to the mat on that. See? And the reason you wouldn't go to the mat on it is you don't have a conviction in that area yet. And this is why we can't receive healing, because we have not judged God faithful. Now, that may offend some of you. Say, boy, he's stepping on my feet today. Well, you know, if you got your feet in the wrong place, they need to be stepped on. I confess that, you know, that I'm sitting out there and listening to this too. I've got to tell you, time after time after time, I can't tell you how many times this has happened, where I would come into a church service myself personally. And I wouldn't feel right. I would be sick, or I would be whatever, cold or so, you know, whatever, headache. And we'd have a healing service. I lay hands on people and they get healed and delivered. We have this mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. I've forgotten about what's happening to me, but I go out and get in my car and I'm still as miserable as when I came in. What's the problem? Are you mean to tell me that the power of God could flow through me into other people and minister a deliverance and a cure for them, and I could still be sick? Yes. Yes, many times that has happened. Oh, it frustrates me no end. But it's the way, and I realize that that's not God's problem, that's mine. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? We're worshiping healing? No. No, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you is not that you die because you're sick. That's not the worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that happens is you die without Jesus, regardless of how you die. But if Jesus has made us promises and if he has established a part of his covenant with us, I mean, why should it be that Jeremy, let's take this analogy a step further and say, well, it's enough for Jeremy to know I love him. It's enough for Jeremy to feel good in my presence. It's enough for Jeremy to know that when he dies, I'll dig a grave for him. It probably is enough for Jeremy. But it would break my heart to have bought him a new red Mustang, to have gone through all that it would have taken for me to do that. Do you realize I don't pull those things out of my pocket? It cost me something to provide that Mustang for him. A great price. I mean, I'm thinking about our Savior. I'm thinking about the crown of thorns that was jammed down on his head, and the blood flowed from his scalp down across his face and down across his body. I see the whip marks and the stripes across his back that the Word of God says that we were healed by those stripes. He took those things. It cost him money to provide that Mustang. It cost him pain and agony that he wouldn't have had to go through otherwise. And so for Jeremy to not take advantage of the Mustang that I want him to have would break my heart. Wouldn't it? And what it would say to me, I would want to say to Jeremy, with all I've done for you, son, and all the things that you've already experienced from me, why is it that you wouldn't believe me about the Mustang? Do you think I could lie to you about such a thing? I could never lie to you about anything. Does this make sense to you? You see where we are? We're not waiting for God. He's waiting for us. We're not waiting for Him to heal us any more than we're waiting for Him to save us. Do you know that Jim, what's your last name, Jim? McKellar? Do you know Jim McKellar could have been baptized in the Holy Ghost the first Sunday he came here? Do you know that? Do you know he could have been baptized in the Holy Ghost? How old are you, Jim? 26 years old. Do you know Jim could have been baptized in the Holy Ghost 20 years ago when he was 6? Couldn't he? Did God just baptize him in the Holy Ghost last week? Did God just baptize him in the Holy Ghost last week? No. No. God's power was ministered to him last week, but he just received it. Now see, if he'd have known about that, if he'd have just met Cynthia, darling, if he had just met Cynthia when he was 6, Cynthia wouldn't have been here. But you get my point. See, if he had just had some revelation, suppose Jim McKellar had been born into Charles Rogers' family. He'd have been 3 years old and he would have known about that, wouldn't he? See? You'd have taught him on that. You'd have prayed with him. You'd have told him how to receive from God. And he'd have grown up in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, God's not waiting. God's waiting for us. We're not waiting for Him.
Amen.
He did everything He's going to do for you right there. Right there. Now let's read that 11th verse again. I want you to see. I tell you, this one verse here is just, woo, isn't it filled with power?
Amen.
Somebody here today, somebody is going to understand what the Holy Ghost is trying to say to us today, and somebody is going to get their life revolutionized today. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength and power and ability to conceive seed. As a result of her faith, she received the power. When she received the power, she was able to conceive the seed and have the baby. And what was the result of her faith? What was her result of her receiving the power of God? What was the result of her conceiving seed? Hallelujah. She was delivered of a child when she was past age. The doctor said, you're going to die. The doctor said, you're not going to have any babies. The doctor said, you're way past your time. The doctor said, your body is such that it's just falling apart. Anybody ever heard that? The doctor said, your mom had this, and your grandma had it, and your great-grandma had it. Therefore, you have just got to get adjusted. You're going to have it too. But see, what does the Word of God say? With God, see, she received strength to do the impossible. And after she believed, then the Mustang was in the parking lot. After she believed, there came a baby from her womb. Watch the because. Because she judged him faithful who had made the promise. Now that's the key. That is the key. If you judge him faithful on the subject of salvation and receive new birth, you'll be saved. It'll be just like you never sinned. If you judge him faithful on the subject of divine healing, you can walk in divine health.
Amen.
If you will judge him faithful on the subject and on the promises of victory over demonic oppression and sinful habits, you can walk at liberty. But you've got to make a decision. And the decision is, did God lie or did He tell the truth? I mean, that's really it. And if we're not willing to receive, then we have said, I don't trust you in this area yet, Lord. And if you're there, that's okay. God doesn't turn you out of His family. What He says is, Rock Hill, preach this. Rock Hill, teach this. Because the entrance of thy word giveth light. So let's take ourselves where we are and let's move forward. Let's just not make the same mistakes again. If you've had prayer and you've had the power of God ministered to you and you weren't able to receive it, then ask for prayer again. Ask for prayer again. God's servants are not too busy, and He's not too busy to minister His power.
Amen.
And then receive it. And then take it. Take the keys. Thank Him. Tell everybody you know. When you go home today, call your mother and say, I went to church today. I got prayer for my whatever, and I received the strength of God for deliverance for my body on that thing. Well, how do you feel? Well, I'm not really moved by how I feel. I don't feel all that different. That didn't make any difference. God's power was ministered to me, and I received it. And if I don't feel it tonight, I'll feel it tomorrow. If I don't feel it tomorrow, I'll feel it the next day. It's as sure as night follows day and day follows night, I'm going to have it.
Amen.
See, that's how faith works.
Right.
Faith works when you can't see it. Now let me have everybody stand, please. And I wasn't going to do this today, but I think I will. If you want prayer again along these lines, you come forward, right? You just come forward. Now let's have the girls come to the instruments here. There may be some here today, maybe one, maybe two, maybe 20. I don't know who would like to try this again based on what you heard this morning. And if you would, I want you to come now. I'm going to give you just a minute. We're not going to labor at this. If this is where you are today, you come now. God will minister His power to you. I guarantee it. You say, Pastor, you advertising for the men's warehouse? No. No, but I guarantee it, not on the strength of my own ability. I wouldn't have the boldness to do that. I guarantee it on the strength of the Word of God. See? I know He doesn't lie. I know He doesn't lie. When I lay my hands upon you, let me have some elders down here just to stand with me. Let's get an usher or two behind these folks, because sometimes when the power of God comes, some folks are just receiving it so freely that they may fall down under the power. Sometimes that power is just real strong, and I can remember. You see this guy over here, you know, about 6 foot three or four or whatever. See this fellow standing right here, weighing about 220 pounds. Is that real athletic, huh? This guy sat in our congregation 1 week and listened to the Word of God preached night after night. And on Friday night, I invited people to come for healing. And he watched people falling under the power of God. And he said, "That ain't real. That's not real. He's doing something to them." But he got in the line, didn't you? And I just laid my hands on him and just prayed for him. You know, just the love of God. Boom. This big jock just hit the ground. And that may have been the first time you ever really expressed or felt the power and the presence of God.
Amen.
And so, is it something you're doing, Vic? No, it's not anything I'm doing. It's something He's doing. And He knew that this man needed to know for sure that God was real and His Word was real and His Holy Spirit was real. And it changed his life.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
So that's why we're not trying to make a show here. We're simply preparing for what the Spirit of God oftentimes does.
Amen.
Okay? Now I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to ask you what's wrong, because it doesn't matter to me in a sense. It matters only to God. I'm going to lay hands upon you, and the Spirit of God is going to minister strength to you for whatever your problem is that is promised in the Word. I want you to judge God faithful on His promise and simply receive, based on what we've been talking about today, receive what God is granting to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we lay hands upon you, brother, believing that the power are wonderful and dramatic manifestations. At other times, there is no particular manifestation. But the power of God is present not because of what we see. It is present because of what He sent. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? Would you be seated for a minute, please? Jeff, I do want to do this. I'm going to do something that He is in the room. There is quite enough power for all of us. I was listening as I was driving along in my car to just a tape of choruses, this particular tape. And I've heard this song before, but as I was thinking about this week, and I thought about that as that song came on, I thought, oh, what a wonderful thought. What a wonderful realization that He is in the room. And if He is in the room, there's quite enough power, there's quite enough hope, there's quite enough love, there's quite enough joy for all of us and for all that we need. And we need to be aware of that. We need to encourage one another. Now, as soon as the service is finished this morning, Jeremy's going to go out and get in his red Mustang. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to tell somebody what Jesus did for you today, aren't you? You're going to tell somebody what you receive from God today. Whether you see it, whether you feel it, whether you sense it, whether you know it, you're going to let your faith speak. You're going to let your faith talk. And instead of letting your circumstances rule your life, you're going to judge Him faithful who made you a promise. And you're going to talk like you believe it. And it will change your circumstances. Amen. Amen. Let's everybody stand, please. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your glory in our place today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the power of your word. Thank you for the capacity of your word to change our thinking. And as a result of changing our thinking, the capacity to change our receiving and change the circumstances of our life. We thank you for our salvation as yet unseen. We thank you for our healing as yet unmanifested. We thank you for deliverance from poverty and from financial oppression. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for these things as yet unfulfilled and as yet unrealized. We thank you, Lord, for the harmony of our homes and our families. We bless you for that, Lord, as yet unseen. But we thank you because your word is true, your power is sufficient, and we refuse to be denied the wonderful gifts of God purchased for us by the sacrifice of our precious Lord Jesus. Send us forth from this place, Lord, full of the knowledge of the glory and the grace of our God, and give us someone to share these wonderful truths with. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, before we're dismissed, I want to just be sure that you are finished with us today, and that you have accomplished all that you intended to do today.